Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the CNSO Review Working Party call that will brief the Council and other interested members of the SDNCs on the final recommendations issued by the Independent Examiner as a result of the independent review of the GNSO held on Tuesday, the 12th of April, 2016. We will not be conducting a roll call as this is a webinar, but all names will be recorded. As a reminder, if we can please remind all participants to state their name before recording for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and I'll turn it back over to Jen. Please begin.
Thank you, and thanks everyone for taking time out of your busy day to join us to provide an update on where we are as the working party has reviewed the recommendations from the independent examiner and what we expect to be our next steps. I think if I can just ask staff, did I get handed over control of the PowerPoint, or do I need to prompt you to change it? I'll see here.
And you have control to change it.
Do I? Okay. Let me just make sure that's working. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. So I'll go ahead and begin, and I am joined today by Chuck Gomes, who's been a very active part of our working party, who has graciously agreed to help me go through some of this information, because we do have a lot to present to you today as we go through the recommendations. The purpose of this webinar today is to have that opportunity to provide that more in-depth briefing for both council and other interested members on what the recommendations were from the independent examiner, and how we as the working party organized, discussed, and evaluated those recommendations. What we hope to accomplish today is just to improve everyone's understandings of the recommendations and think about the implementation considerations and preparation for the council vote, which is later this week on the 14th of April. Some of the key considerations that we have as we move forward is just thinking about, as we move into implementation, the volunteer capacity. As we all know, there's a lot of important work going on, and what's realistic in terms of creating an implementation schedule and a plan and being able to measure results so that we can show improvement within the organization. And Larissa, were you going to provide the update on the timeline?
Yes. Hi, everybody. This is Larissa Gernick, ICANN staff. So what you see on the screen, and if I could just ask for some help to adjust the size of the screen so that everything fits in. Thank you very much. What you see on here is an updated timeline that reflects where we are today, which is, as Jen suggested, preparing the information and sharing information with the GNSO Council in preparation for the upcoming council meeting on Thursday, so that all of you would have sufficient information to react to the extensive work effort that was produced by the GNSO Review Working Party. The purpose of that is to combine that feedback with the work of the GNSO community that's been represented by the GNSO Review Working Party and provide to the Organizational Effectiveness Committee a fulsome report of basically the areas of agreement, the areas where there's some questions or concerns about the findings of the independent examiner, and then there's areas, as you'll see, some things are in between. I also wanted to acknowledge the fact that Rinalia has joined this call. Thank you, Rinalia, for joining. Rinalia is the chair of the Organizational Effectiveness Committee. It's her group that will be looking at the considerations that will be provided to the board committee in May at their meeting to better understand community's assessment of the independent examiner's work and community's feedback on what's feasible and how things should be prioritized. Once the Organizational Effectiveness Committee considers all this information, the next step would be for that committee to make a recommendation to the full board And we're still waiting for confirmation of the board meetings, but assuming that there would be a board meeting in June, it would be at the June board meeting that that topic would be considered by the board. And then once the board accepts the final report and takes action on the recommendations, the activities move into the implementation phase. So you'll see the next bubble for July, and really July, August, and leading into September, is an opportunity for the council to determine the steps towards how the implementation would take place. And I know from my colleagues on the policy team that an options paper is already being drafted for consideration by the GNSO Council, addressing a variety of issues for how to move the implementation forward, starting with the role that the GNSO Review Working Party would play, to how to consider prioritization and feasibility and such. And ultimately, it's with the idea of developing an implementation plan that would then go to the ICANN board for their consideration. And we, again, put a tentative date of September 2016 for that to happen. I also wanted to flag for all of you that there's been extensive dialogue between the Review Working Party, the Council, and the Organizational Effectiveness Committee throughout this process, certainly since September of 2015, but even before. So what you see on here is next steps are just a continuation of all those really productive dialogues and conversations. In Marrakesh, the Organizational Effectiveness Committee requested that rationale be provided for recommendations in areas where the GNSO community disagreed with the conclusions of the independent examiner. And to a great extent, that has already taken place, and more work will be put to ensure that that rationale is fully articulated, and you will see some examples of this in the presentations that are to follow. So with that, I will pass it back on to Jen. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Larissa, and we'll certainly come back to our next steps once we present all of the recommendations and the working party response, and at that time we can have a more robust dialogue about our next steps and any options there. So I'd like to move on and provide just some general context to how we approached our work. If you read the report from the independent examiners, you know it was a very lengthy report, but it's consolidated down to essentially 36 recommendations. And we determined that the best way for us to organize our work was to create basically four categories of the recommendations and then work our way through those within each of those buckets, if you will. So the way we determined that is we took four criteria. We looked at the ease or difficulty of the implementation of the recommendation. We looked at the cost of implementation. We looked at whether or not we believed it aligned with the strategic plan of the GNSO. And we looked at its impact on other or existing work. And within that, we took all of those 36 recommendations and broke them into four categories. The first, which we color-coded on our spreadsheet just as green, which meant everybody was in agreement. We thought that should proceed. And you can see here on the charts just the breakdown of those 36. That came out to be about 36% of all of the recommendations. We then had our next category where we identified that the recommendation was something everyone was in agreement with, but we also felt that work was already being done either through some other PDP or staff work or something else was being done. So we wanted to flag that it was something that we were in agreement with, but maybe it didn't need any kind of specific implementation plan, or maybe it just needs to be followed through with some other work that's being done. And that was about 39% of the recommendations. We then had a third category where
We agreed in principle with what we thought was the underlying concept, but maybe we didn't like the way it was worded, or we had different people had concerns, and so we actually have proposed modified language for those recommendations. And there were six of those, which was a 17%. And then there were three where there was complete agreement that we did not agree that those should go forward. So we color-coded that as red, and that was a small number. And we'll go through that here momentarily and talk through our rationale. Now, once we had it broken into those four categories, we then went back through all of the recommendations and determined, do we think that this would be a high priority, a medium priority, or a low priority? So you can see that obviously everything we didn't agree with would go into the low category. And so we broke those down, and you can see, you know, those that we agreed, they were green. We had three that were high, seven that were medium, and three that were low. So we ended up with what I'd say is sort of a bell curve of the high, medium, and low across the board on the areas where we had widespread agreement. So before I move on, are there any questions about how we approached our work or how the scheming system works that we set up? If you get the spreadsheet, you'll see the color coding. I think it just helps to visually be able to go through it in that way. Okay, seeing no questions, I'll go ahead and move on. Let me see if I can zoom this in just a little bit more. There we go. The first I want to start with today is those three recommendations that we determined should not be implemented. And you can see here the recommendation numbers that you see on this, those are the recommendations numbers from the final report. So if you go back and look at the Westlake report, that would be recommendation number 21, 32, and 23. And so the first one was recommendation 21. And that read that the GNSO Council should regularly undertake or commission analysis of trends in GTLDs in order to forecast likely requirements for policy and to ensure those affected are well represented in the policymaking process. And there was not agreement in this recommendation because the working party felt it was not a well phrased and it didn't really conform with what we thought was in the rest of the report, and that we didn't really feel it was appropriate for the GNSO to be determining, you know, to be creating some kind of a forecast or to be analyzing this type of data. We thought that would better fit in other places, like in other reviews or other components of work within the GNSO. So that was why there was widespread agreement on that recommendation not to move forward. And Amar, I see you have a note in here. Let me see. Maybe noteworthy that the working party reviewed the recommendations against the rationale. Yes, thank you, Amar. And did you, if you want to add to that, please just raise your hand and let me know. But excellent point. We were very carefully looking at the rationale in the report as we reviewed the recommendations. So any comments on that? Any questions or concerns about why that was flagged as a do not implement? Oh, yes. Denise, please go ahead. I see. Are you typing? Oh, audio problems? Okay, we'll go ahead and we'll come back to you. Wolf Ulrich, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, Jen. Wolf speaking. We had, let me briefly summarize. We had a discussion within our constituency, the ISPCP, especially about the three red recommendations, you know, which are rejected. We are in line with all the other recommendations, more or less. And with regard to this recommendation, it turned out, so from my talks I had also through other members of the GNSO, some of them, that there might be a demand in some direction with regards to such a kind of study to undertake. So, and we had this discussion also in Marrakesh. So, and then from the discussion in Marrakesh, it more or less turned out from Chuck's words, if I recall that correctly, that we were of the opinion, or the group was of the opinion, not to accept this recommendation because of, well, a little bit, this is a little bit too broad defined, or there is less definition about that, what the goal of such study should be, and the question of timing then was also open. So I wonder, from just to summarize, whether because it seems to be, to some extent, some demand for such studies in, the question is what regularly means, but to some extent it seems to be some demand, whether we shouldn't, there shouldn't be a chance, well, to not just to reject this recommendation, rather than to request, well, how it could be prepared for better understanding, or to set the scene for such a study more in terms of parameters which such study should have. So that was, you know, coming out from discussions I had also in our constituency. And I come later back to the other recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. Denise, is your audio working now?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Oh, great. Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for doing this. Regarding recommendation 21, I understand the working party's comment about a poorly phrased recommendation and questions about implementing it the way it's written. I'm interested in the sort of impetus or background for the recommendation, which in my interpretation is that it benefits the whole community for the GNSO council members to be, and the GNSO community more broadly, to be better informed about what's happening in the GTLD space, to have a greater understanding of the various, you know, elements and activities to provide a better underpinning for policy development and decisions that will be made. Was there any discussion in the working party of, well, not liking the exact recommendation of 21, but being open to suggesting that the GNSO work with staff to, say, provide regular briefings or updates relative to the GTLD space, not doing the work itself, but rather taking advantage of work that's being done in lots of other places, both on staff and in the community?
Hi, Denise. So I'll try to answer this, and I certainly invite others who are on the working party to add to this. I think that absolutely what you're saying are things that everybody agreed with. I think it was the bigger concern was how this recommendation was worded, that council should regularly undertake or commission, you know, does that involve, you know, a budget? Does that mean they have to spend money? Does that mean they have to do certain things? I think we were concerned about a recommendation that was mandating something like that versus being work that could be done elsewhere. So I think that's where we were coming from in saying that we don't think this recommendation should move forward. I know, Chuck, you have your hand up, and I don't know if you have anything to add to answering that question as well. Chuck, I'll see if you have more to add to that.
Thanks, Jen, and thanks, Lov Ulrich and Denise. Let me say, first of all, just from a personal point of view, part of the problem I had with the recommendation, and as several have said, the wording of it, you know, when you try to forecast likely requirements for policy, that's hard to do, although there are areas where it makes sense, like, for example, what's going on in the new GTLD next round PDP that's going on right now, subsequent procedures PDP. This fits nicely. This recommendation actually fits nicely in that PDP. And in that sense, if it, depending on how it's worded, could be one of those in the category that Jen talked about of it's already being worked with regard to new GTLDs, because I'm assuming that PDP, as well as even the one on rights protection, is looking at new needs and the success of things in the past round. So it actually fits there. But my main point, I think, is this. One of the reasons that I think the working party wanted the council as in its representation capacity for the broader GNSO to look at the recommendations was to consider things like both Wolf Ulrich and Denise have brought up, And I guess I have a question for both of them in that regard. I'm sensing that both of you, and Wolf Ulrich in representing the ISPCC, ISPs and so forth, think maybe this one shouldn't be discarded as a recommendation, and that's okay if the council disagrees with the working party on that. In fact, I think that's fine. My question then is, would you agree with a low priority, or would you give it a higher priority than low in that regard relative to all the other recommendations?
Well, Chuck, this is Denise. I think I think there's perhaps an issue of sort of context here, or what the construct the working group was working in. If your only option is to say yes or no to this exactly worded recommendation, then I can understand basically saying no. I think my question really, and my perhaps suggestion, is that if you can go beyond simply saying no to this, to the way this recommendation was specifically worded, but using the idea behind this recommendation as a stepping off point to have the working party look at really broad-based general information about the elements of the GTLD space that, regardless of what PDP happens to be occurring at the time, would be valuable general information and knowledge sharing for the GNSO community. So really that's where I was going. I can appreciate that the working party would not want to have the GNSO undertake and commission analysis. At the same time, there's a lot of information out there, and there's a lot of holes in the knowledge of, you know, various parts of the GNSO community. And I think people would really welcome the opportunity to have information sharing, presentations on analysis and trends, you know, in the GTLD space. So I think, to rephrase, does the working party have the ability, and would they be interested in going beyond simply saying we don't like this, the specific direction or the way this 21 is worded, but at the same time, we think the GNSO should pursue regular information sharing and briefings on related to GTLDs.
Thank you, Denise. And I see there's a queue forming here. I will just respond briefly. I think, you know, absolutely, that's why we created the sort of the four-prong approach of we agree, but we think work is already being done. We agree with modifications, or we don't agree. And probably the one thing that's changed since we addressed some of these is that there have been two new PDPs formed that could probably, this might fit into one of those buckets. But let me get to everybody else in the queue here. Wolf Ulrich, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Wolf Ulrich speaking. Just briefly to Chuck's question. Well, Chuck, it's just, I would go that way, phrase it well, not to reject this recommendation, because there's some demand, but I wouldn't place it to a high priority. It came to my mind from the last discussion that it seemed to me it's rather a question of how to deal with those such a analysis commission, rather than the question should we do it or not. So briefly, there is demand. There is something we should find to phrase it in that way, that it is not of the highest priority here, and then let's do it. Thanks.
Thank you. And Amr.
Thanks, Jen. This is Amr. I think Denise was absolutely correct in saying that there's a lot of information out there, and it will probably serve the community to understand information and have empirical data to assist in policy development. However, I don't believe that was actually the concern with this recommendation here. First, and I think either Jen or Chuck, who mentioned this before, the the recommendation effectively creates a commitment for the GNSO Council that, at least in, for my part, I felt was not substantiated by anything in the study that was like provided. And if you look at the actual wording of the recommendation, this isn't really about commissioning studies or analysis of trends to assist in policy development, just to forecast future requirements for policy development. That at least is the way I understood it. There actually have been a number of studies that were conducted in the past, for example, on WHOIS, that have been instrumental in informing GNSO PDPs. There was also the recent non-PDP working group on the data metrics for policy development that came out with a number of fantastic recommendations to help towards that end. However, like I said, it's just sort of just a combination of a commitment that is ambiguous, to say the best, on the GNSO Council as a result of this recommendation, as well as lack of substantial reasoning to sort of see this recommendation through in terms of how these forecasts will assist the GNSO in forecasting what policy requirements may be, may or may not be, was just unclear to the members of the working party, and which is more or less why we color-coded it red. Thank you.
Thanks, Amr. And Chuck, that's a new hand,
yeah,
I think, right?
Thanks. And I'm going to come back to Denise mostly, but and Jen, I don't want to speak for you because you're the chair of the group, but I don't think this thing has to come back to the GNSO Working Party for its approval to change the categorization of this. The council could make that suggestion, and I believe that the Working Party would be fine with that. That's why we wanted the council to look at it, so because they represent a lot of, you know, a lot of different groups with different views. So, but what I would suggest is that, you know, I think this recommendation, based on what I heard, is could fit into either the orange or the yellow category. Maybe it's a combination of both. But what would help the council, I think, and again, I can't speak for the council, but would be to suggest maybe a rewording of it in terms of what might recommend it, and change it to either a yellow or an orange category. And but the council would need some help in amending the motion that's on the table right now. If we don't help them in the rewording of the motion, what's going to happen? It's going to be deferred longer, and I don't think that's a good idea. So my recommendation is recommend to the council that they change the category. And if the council supports that, I don't think it needs to come back to the working party to do that. Jen, correct me if I'm wrong on that.
No, I think we could certainly, if we're getting feedback here from the community that this, you know, again, I think exactly as we stated, there isn't, I think everyone agrees that the idea of providing data to the GNSO Council is a good idea. It was just a concern that the way this was worded, it was a mandate and it had a budget and other implications. So we could certainly change it to a yellow or a yellow and an orange, where we flag it that we agree with the underlying principle. We think it should be rephrased, and we think there's already work being done to this extent. Wolf Ulrich, please go ahead.
Thanks, Jen. Well, as the one who submitted the motion to the council, well, I think from my point of view, it fits. This is valid to any other change we are going to do with regard to that motion or with regard to any of these recommendations. So I would ask for that, because I was submitting this motion. If we are going that way to change, well, the category, and, you know, I did it by myself, you know, for recommendation 21, asking for changing it, that means that the one who is asking for that, who should feel a little bit responsible to make a proposal about how to do that, in maybe in cooperation with you, both with some of you, with Chuck and in general of you, that we, you could be helped, and then I could submit that or be prepared for the council meeting on Thursday. So that would be a way I see. Thank you.
Okay. I think if that's, unless Marika, or if any policy experts want to correct us on the approach, that would seem like a way to move this forward. Rudy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. Rudy Vansnick for the transcript. Well, I'm still trying to have a clear view on the impact of this kind of recommendations. As we know, there is quite a lot of data available, and I just want to know where will it end the work that is done in the GNSO Council. Would that trigger new policy, or would that modify ongoing policy? I would like to see the impact of these analyses, because it could create some burdens to let policy work going forward. If each time we are getting data that would allow us to say, oh, but maybe we have to rethink this or that, or we need to review ongoing policy and restart from scratch or from the beginning, that will just delay the policy work. So I would like to see if there is a request to activate this recommendation, how is that going to impact and at what time?
So, Rudy, are you – I just want to make sure I understand your question. Are you opposed if we and completely with the way it's worded right now, if we were to reword it so it didn't create that sort of obligation but was rather building off of existing work that was being done to gather and provide that information to council, are you comfortable with that change being made?
Yes, sure, Jen. Clarifies what the impact would be, then it's helpful, and then you can reconsider it.
Okay. So I think if I see in the chat, too, it sounds like Denise is maybe going to provide some suggested rewording, and Amr and Wolf Ulrich would need to sign off on that change to the motion. Correct me if I'm not reading that correctly, but it sounds like that's a consensus to move forward with regard to this recommendation 21. So seeing if there's no other objections, just in the interest of time, why don't we go ahead and move on to recommendation number 32. That reads, as presented by the independent examiners, that ICANN define cultural diversity, possibly by using birth language, and regularly publish this along with geographic, gender, and age group metrics, at least for the GNSO Council, SGCs, and WGs. And the concern that the working party had with this particular recommendation was certainly not the intention of it, but that the language was very much too broad, and that we were concerned about how cultural diversity would be defined. We also felt that this was something that was not just for the GNSO to define, but really for ICANN as a whole. We also had concerns that it wasn't feasible to reach a consensus on defining what cultural diversity meant, and that there may be other ways to accomplish this goal. So opening it up to comments on the decision to flag this one as a do not implement for those reasons. Yes, Denise, please go ahead.
Hi, and I'm sorry, my phone cut out a couple times, and perhaps you addressed this and I missed it, but so I understand there's an issue with the cultural, with some of the language. Did you address the suggestion of collecting and publishing just basic geographic, gender, and age metrics for all the elements of the structures within the GNSO, setting aside the birth language issue?
There's actually some other recommendations that deal with this, and I think that was one of the other issues that we had, was that this was so specifically trying to create a definition of cultural diversity. So there are, and I believe that information is already being collected, so that's why we didn't address it within this specific recommendation.
Right. Is gender information collected at the constituency and stakeholder and working group level? I don't think so.
I think there, if I recall, and I've, there's a lot to go through here, but I believe there's another recommendation that deals with that, Larissa, do you recall?
Jen, I believe you're right. It's one of the upcoming recommendations. This is Larissa Gronick. Yes, I believe that there is one upcoming recommendation that we will be covering that makes that suggestion. But to Denise's point, I don't believe that that information is currently captured and reported.
So, Denise, is it fair to say you would like to see information collected on gender?
Gender, geographic, and age.
Okay.
Seems reasonable. Well, I don't know about age, but if people feel that age is there's an age gap and that's an issue, then sure. I think the more metrics and transparency involved at all levels of the GNSO, the better. But certainly on geographic and gender issues, which have received increasing attention and there's a standing commitment on the part of the ICANN community, I think it would be useful simply to have as part of the regular process collecting and publishing at least geographic and gender metrics for working groups, constituencies, stakeholder groups, and the council.
Okay. Thank you. And I see Amr had a concern. I'll invite you to, if you want to speak to that. But Paul McGrady is next. Please go ahead.
Hi. Paul McGrady for the record. I guess I have a uniquely American perspective on this, or maybe I should say white male American perspective on this. What's the point of the data that's being collected? Is it to go back to the stakeholder groups and tell them that they need to try harder? Will people be excluded based upon their gender or cultural identification if it throws the council out of balance? Is there a way, assuming we want to go down this path, to account for the fact that a New Zealand Protestant may have almost nothing in common with a Canadian agnostic, even though they have the same birth language? This thing seems to raise a lot more questions than it answers, and even if we could answer those questions, I guess I don't fully understand what the purpose of the data is and how it will be used. And importantly, as we all are extra sensitive these days, what kind of privacy policy does ICANN even have in place to collect and hold this kind of personal information? So those are just some of the initial reactions to this. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. And no, all great points. And again, that's part of why this one was do not implement, because of all of the issues that were just raised and concerns about defining cultural diversity. I know, Amr, I don't know if you want to address the couple points you've made in the chat.
Sure, Jen. Thanks. This is Amr. Yeah, just when the question came up earlier on whether the GNSO constituencies and stakeholder groups collect this information or not, I recall this was a discussion, I think maybe it took place in Marrakesh, I don't recall exactly, amongst the NCSG. And my understanding is that within the NCSG, we actually make it a point to not ask for our members' genders, for example, or ages. And I remember the gender issue was especially sensitive because folks who are signing up to become members may not wish to identify with a predetermined set of options for gender, just as an example. The thinking currently seems to be that it's undesirable and probably not very helpful to try to collect this information. Just thought I'd share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Amr. That's helpful to provide that additional context. So, Denise, I have a note here on your comment, and I'd like to come back to it when we get to the recommendation that deals specifically with that. But if there's no other objection, then we would proceed with 32 being a do not implement as it's written. Okay. Then moving on to the third and final of the do not implement recommendations was number 23. And this one stated, in order to support ICANN's multi-stakeholder model, all Cs should have seats on the GNSO Council allocated equally by their SGs. And some of the concerns that were raised by the working party, and there was widespread agreement on this and pretty much from the outset on this particular recommendation, was that it wouldn't work if an SG had more than six constituencies. It assumes all constituencies are equal with respect to their mission, clarity, member engagement, and contributions to GNSO work. It could create the wrong kind of incentives for groups to form constituencies to get seats on council, and just the questionable rationale. And where I think there was probably the most reaction from we on the working party is that this was a recommendation that was added by Westlake after we had any opportunity to provide our input, our feedback. And so we felt like this kind of came out of nowhere right at the end, that they just inserted this. So that was concerning to a lot of us just in terms of how they approached adding this particular recommendation. So we flagged this one as a red do not implement. Any comments or questions about the decision to flag this one as a do not implement? Yes, Amr.
Thanks, Jen. This is Amr again. I just wanted to add that, if anything, when this recommendation was first revealed to the Working Party with the final report, this actually had, I mean, the recommendation, Westlake were looking at a number of issues concerning empowering constituencies, and they met with a number of groups at the last Buenos Aires meeting, I think it was. And if anything, the feedback, a lot of the feedback they received seemed to head in the opposite direction. And so it's not just, I mean, the reasons listed here, the comments from the working party are extremely relevant. But if anything, if you look at the feedback that Westlake had collected, and this was actually collected very nicely by staff and included in the public comment forum on their preliminary report. So if you do look at that and then match the revised recommendation 23 along with what actually took place in the study, it just makes this recommendation less substantiated by what was actually studied within the GNSO community. So I just wanted to add that. Thank you.
Thanks, Amr. And Rudy, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jen, Rudy, for the transcript. It didn't come out of the blue. It's not something that Westlake has been inventing. It's a discussion that was going on, and when members of NPOC has been interviewed, it was something that has been raised from our NPOC community that it was a pity that we didn't have the chance to be present in the council. And that's where probably I picked it up, among other maybe suggestions that they got. NPOC didn't insist in bringing this to the recommendations itself, and we didn't insist in applying that recommendation. As there are ways to work around it and find ways to get a seat. But it was expressed during interviews by NPOC members. So we have to be honest. If constituency had raised, well, you have to say it.
Thank you. Thank you, Rudy. And Wolf Ulrich, please go ahead.
Thanks, Jen. Well, besides the question, well, who brought that question up or how it came, well, to the working party, you know, it is a basic question, you know, in the direction of the structure of the GNSO as well. And as you know, though we had this discussion, we raised several times disappointments that this review was not looking at the structure. And, you know, as it is obvious, the structural review has to come in future. And I would say, from that point of view, and we discussed it in our constituency as well, I'm in line with that, so to say that this question has to be brought up during a structural review, which has to take into consideration in the near future. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. I see Chuck had a check mark on that point as well. So understanding all of that with the way it's written right now, is there any further objection to keeping this as a do not implement for the reasons expressed? Okay. We'll go ahead and move on to the next batch of recommendations. These are color-coded as yellow, which means we agreed with the intent but wanted to suggest some modification to the way it was worded. And Denise, I knew there was one that addressed the point you were raising. I'm so glad it came up right next. That makes it very easy to make sure we don't lose track of that. And that was recommendation 35, which read as written that the GNSO Council establish a working group whose membership specifically reflects the demographic, cultural, gender, and age diversity of the Internet as a whole to recommend to Council ways to reduce barriers to participation in the GNSO by non-English speakers and those with limited command of the English language. So it dealt with some of this diversity. And, you know, part of what we looked at is we didn't really like the way that particular recommendation was worded in terms of, you know, requesting a working group and trying to force sort of this cultural diversity when that might not always be possible. What we did was propose this revised language that the GNSO Council establish a working group to recommend ways to reduce barriers to participation by non-English speakers and those with limited command of the English language. To the extent practicable, the members of the working group should be diverse and reflect demographic, cultural, gender, and age diversity. So, Denise, your hand's up. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So I think there's a bit of a disconnect. If the working party agrees with the intent, I guess that assumes that they feel there is an issue with diversity in various ways. I think you need metrics. You need to know the facts if you have an intent of addressing what you perceive to be a problem. So this goes back to collecting aggregated data at the working group, constituency, stakeholder group, and council level on what people feel are the key metrics that matter in terms of supporting diversity commitments. I think this really needs to start with basic aggregated data that's collected and published so we know what the current situation is with no other intent other than, you know, I can have a commitment for diversity, but we really don't know where we stand within the GNSO on diversity. So I think the first step for this and related questions is, you know, what does the current landscape look like? I think the data needs to be the foundation for any other questions, discussions, actions. And also, I don't think another working group is a good idea at this point. I think every structure within the GNSO can take some responsibility to looking at what their own diversity issues are and ways that they can increase their diversity. I think it's a challenging environment currently within which to create yet another working group. Thanks.
Thank you, Denise. And yes, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the key points that we have towards the end here is, you know, how do we realistically move these forward from just being a recommendation into something that can be implemented? And you're absolutely right about having, you know, data sets and a baseline from which to begin and then to set goals and measure what happens going forward. So I think what we're certainly looking for right now is to gauge, do you all agree with how we have categorized these recommendations? And then there will be work to do to determine how do these move forward into implementation. So thank you for all of your comments. Any other, Chuck has said, would you recommend making this a red? Chuck, do you want to add to that? Is that how,
that's kind of what I thought I heard Denise saying. This is Chuck, that, you know, maybe we shouldn't even do this one. Is that what I'm hearing, or did I hear you incorrectly, Denise?
Well, I don't feel, you know, strongly about it, about creating a working group. I just think it's a very difficult environment currently to create another working group. We're
we're all very, very busy. We have a number of working groups and PDPs going on right now. I think a working group on this would be challenging to populate and get underway at this point. And in addition to that, I think the first step is to ask staff and the various groups to provide basic data so we know where we stand. So no, I wouldn't turn it red. I agree that yellow is a good color for this, but I would, but I guess would propose that rather than creating a working group at this time, the council directs staff to collect relevant data from all the various groups and report back to the council and or the stakeholder groups and constituencies, and then consider as a community what the appropriate next steps are given the data that we have.
So this is Chuck again. Would you make it a low priority then?
No, I would. I think yellow is an appropriate
yellow's not
medium.
The priority.
Vivid as medium.
Oh, sorry, yellow's
medium.
Recommendation. Nope. I think medium's a good, I agree with the medium.
Okay, thanks.
Priority, yep.
Okay, and absolutely, thank you, Denise, for all those comments. I mean, I think, again, just to remember where we are, is these are just recommendations, and we're trying to categorize them and flag them for the, you know, for the council and for the OEC to look at them, and I think these are incredibly important points as we move into implementation. Maybe a working group isn't the right way, but we believe in the underlying concept, and let's find a way to move it into implementation. So if there's no further discussion on that one, I'll go ahead and move on to our next one, because we do have a lot to get through here in the next 40 minutes. Recommendation number three is worded that the GNSO Council reduce or remove cost barriers to volunteer participation in working groups. As you can imagine, that's an idea I think we all would like to see happen. So there was agreement with the underlying principle. I think there was concern about what does that mean in terms of budgets and travel support and financial issues and cost barriers and things along those lines. So we reworded it to state that the GNSO Council reduce time barriers to volunteer participation and consider ways to enhance participation remotely without the need for travel expenditures. So any comments or concerns about the way we categorize this or the way we rephrased the recommendation? No? Okay, that's less of a controversial one. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move on to recommendation number seven, which originally stated the stakeholder groups and constituencies engage more deeply with community members whose first language is other than English as a means to overcoming barriers. And there were a lot of this sort of themed recommendations that we all understand. I think that for those who don't speak English, that there are some barriers. So we agreed with that concept. I think we just wanted to see it reworded a little bit in terms of the formal recommendation. So we reworded this to state the stakeholder groups and constituencies strive to overcome language barriers by participating in the working group established under recommendation 35. So we just sort of folded that one up under the other. Any comments or concerns on this one? Yes, Chuck.
Yeah, it's not so much a comment or a concern, but we, because of the way we worded the rewording there, and the concern that's been expressed by several, certainly by Denise and Susan in the chat. The idea of the working group has come under question, so I'm just flagging that for people's attention since the two are connected.
Yes, I think, and that I think we can make that notation as we ask, you know, council for feedback on how this moves into implementation. That we flag that as on this recommendation, maybe a working group is not the right way to move forward. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and move on to our next set. These are still in the yellow category where we agree with the intent but wanted to suggest a modification. The next one was recommendation number 20. It originally states that the GNSO Council should review annually ICANN's strategic objectives with a view to planning future policy development that strikes a balance between ICANN's strategic objectives and the GNSO resources available for policy development. Again, I think we agreed with this. We thought that there should be more going into the strategic planning process. the underlying intent was there. We were just concerned about interpretation of that wording. And so we revised it to state that the GNSO Council should participate in developing ICANN's strategic objectives and plan future policy development that aligns with the strategic objectives, aligns the strategic objectives with GNSO resources. Any comments on that one? Yes, Chuck.
Thanks. Chuck speaking. The problem I had with this one is, for any of you who have followed the strategic objectives of ICANN, they're at a very high level, and the GNSO gets down to a very practical level. So that's why I supported a low priority on this. It's pretty easy to connect to strategic objectives that are high, and strategic objectives should be at a high level. But the GNSO gets down to a very practical, everyday level. So I just throw that in. The intent, I think, is good, but there's a disconnect, I think, between strategic objectives and GNSO objectives and actual policy development.
Thank you, Chuck. So if there's no further discussion on that, we'll move on to Recommendation 36, which originally stated that when approving the formation of a PDP working group, the GNSO Council require that its membership represent, as far as reasonably practicable, the geographic, cultural, and gender diversity of the Internet as a whole. Additionally, that when approving GNSO policy, the ICANN Board explicitly satisfy itself that the GNSO Council undertook these actions when approving the formation of the PDP. Again, I think the underlying concept of creating more diversity is certainly something everyone agreed with, but there were concerns about the way this language mandated certain things and put directives on council or the board that we didn't think was appropriately placed. So we proposed the revised language that when approving the formation of a PDP, the GNSO Council strive for its membership to be diverse and reflect demographic, cultural, gender, and age diversity. When approving GNSO policy, the board should take into consideration if reasonable measures were taken to achieve such diversity. Any comments on A, how we categorize this, or B, how we have rephrased it? Paul, please go ahead.
Paul McGrady for the record. I'm a little concerned that at the end of the day, we could spend 3 years developing a new policy, and then when it gets to the board, if they don't like it for some reason, then they could simply send it back on the grounds that they didn't think that the diversity of the decision. It seems to me that we should get a nod. If the board is going to be the ultimate decider of whether or not the diversity is sufficient, it seems like we want to get a nod at the beginning of the process and not send the policy to the board with our fingers crossed that we got enough diversity on the. And then secondly, just in the chat, from the chat, a comment that as long as the PDPs are, in English without translation at difficult hours for people most of the United States and Canada or Western Europe, we have systems in place that may be discouraging participation from around the globe. And in addition to the healthy debate I think we'll have over the collection and storage of personal information, maybe part of this needs to be a staff component to number 36 that says that staff will roll out technology and timing and translation necessary to support diverse participation. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Any other comments? And those are all important points. Again, as we move this all into implementation, those are incredibly important points as to how does that move forward. Anything else? Paul, is that your old hand? That's not a new one, is it, Paul? Okay, great. Okay, so moving on to recommendation number 22, which originally stated that the GNSO Council develop a competency-based framework which its members should utilize to identify development needs and opportunities. We felt like that was a bit vague, and so we revised that to state that the GNSO Council develop a technical competency-based expectation of its members and provide training on the policy development process. And Chuck, I know in Amr, we all talked a lot about this one, that we felt like there perhaps needs to be some sort of technical competency level that you expect people to have as they come into different areas, and that for those who don't have it, that there be some training for them, and that we thought that that was a good idea or recommendation. Any other comments, or Chuck or Amr, I know if you want to add to that. Nothing new on that? Okay. We'll go ahead and move on then to keep us moving along. We've got about 30 minutes left on our time today. There's actually probably going to be a little less discussion on this next batch because these were recommendations where we believed that there was already work being done in some of these areas. And so we focused on trying to prioritize if it was high, medium, or low as it relates to implementation, any kind of support that would be given to these recommendations. So the first was recommendation 8 that states working groups should have an explicit role in responding to implementation issues related to policy they have developed. We thought that that was important, but that work was already being done on the policy and implementation working group. Any comments or concerns about how that has been categorized, or how that might move forward into implementation as work that's already being done? Okay. Moving on to recommendation 15, it states that the GNSO continues current PDP improvement project initiatives to address timeliness of the PDP. Again, we felt that has really already been done and that there is ongoing work to try to create more efficiencies and improve the timeliness. We kept that prioritized as high just because we believe it is very important but is already being done. Any comments or concerns about that one? Okay, moving on to recommendation 16, which states that a policy impact assessment be included as a standard part of any policy process. Again, we think that that is already being done and that that a GNSO action item right now is already to develop an analytical framework for assessing policy impacts and what should be measured. Any comments on that one? Okay. So we'll move on to the next batch that, again, are still in this category of we agree, but note work was already being done, recommendation 11. That the face-to-face PDP working group pilot project be assessed when completed. If the results are beneficial, guidelines should be developed and support funding made available. So, again, we think that this was work already done, being done, and evaluated. So we flagged that as a medium and put it in that category. Any concerns, comments on that point? Okay. Moving on to recommendation 14, it states that the GNSO further explore PDP chunking and examines each potential PDP as to its feasibility for breaking into discrete stages. Again, we think that some of this is already being done in the existing work to streamline the PDP process. Any comments there? Okay. Recommendation 24, that the GNSO Council and SGs and Cs adhere to the published process for applications for new constituencies, that the ICANN board in assessing an application satisfy itself that all parties have followed the published process, subject to which the default outcome is that a new constituency is admitted, that all applications for new constituencies, including historic applications, be published on the ICANN website with full transparency of decision-making. We had noted that we thought this was partly done and that work was being done already on this. And I know, Chuck, I don't know if you want to provide a few more of your comments on that particular recommendation.
Well, I can. This is Chuck. You can see what I wrote. Sorry, it's a little wordy. There was actually disagreement in the working party that whether it was being done or not. I think there is agreement. There was agreement that it should be done at the beginning of the process, and not later. It certainly is going to require some diligence on the part of the GNSO And then I suggested some GNSO action items, as I did in some of the other recommendations. I won't go through those unless somebody wants me to. But I think that the council should keep in mind that some of these things, if there's support for these, that they do, then it follows, assuming that the board approves them, that the GNSO council in its leadership role, policy development leadership role, needs to take some action on some of these things, and those action items will need to be captured and followed up on.
Thanks, Chuck. And Paul, I see your question, should it be marked as a high priority? I think the reason it ended up medium is because we didn't have complete agreement, so we just said let's go in the middle, but I think that's an important point to note. Okay, I'll go ahead and move on in the interest of time. The next recommendation in this category of we agree and note work is underway is recommendation 31, which states that the GAC GNSO consultation group on GAC early engagement in the GNSO policy development process continue its two work streams as priority projects. As part of its work, it should consider how the GAC could appoint a non-binding non-voting liaison to the working group of each relevant GNSO PDP as a means of providing timely input. Again, we felt that this was already ongoing work and to flag it accordingly. Any comments or questions about that one? Okay. Moving on to number 13, it reads that the GNSO Council evaluate and, if appropriate, pilot a technology solution such as Lumio or similar to facilitate wider participation in working group consensus-based decision-making. We felt like this was already occurring in continuous improvement, that although no specific tool was being recommended, that a tool would need to meet was not currently something that was being considered. Those were just some comments that we had. Hello? Hello, are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
Oh, I heard a – did you all hear that?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. So any comments on 13? Okay, moving on to recommendation 19, which reads, as a strategic manager rather than a policy body, the GNSO Council should continue to focus on ensuring that a working group has been properly constituted, has thoroughly fulfilled the terms of its charter, and has followed due process. Again, we felt that was work that was already being done on PDP improvement. Any comments, concerns about that classification? Okay. Seeing none, these are the last two that are in this category, and then it moves on to those where there was widespread agreement. So 25 reads that the GNSO Council commission the development of and implement guidelines to provide assistance for groups wishing to establish a new constituency. Again, we felt that that guidance already existed, and that relates to the other one we just discussed. Paul, I see your hands up. Please go ahead.
Sorry. Can we go back to the last screen?
Sure.
I had just a question about a term. It says the working group has been properly constituted and it has thoroughly fulfilled the terms of its charter and has followed due process. Due process means something in legal terms. What do we mean when we say follow due process here? Does that mean that it usually means something in relationship between the individual and the state? So are we talking about individual working group members feel like they have given a proper opportunity to opine? What do we mean? Or do we mean that the working group has followed, ICANN's usual processes that are in place? Because due process is loaded with all kinds of legal meaning. If we just mean that the working group followed the regular, processes that ICANN has in place, then I think we should state it that way rather than creating the ambiguity. But if we mean due process in the sense that, it's balancing of rights and all those things, then that makes number 19 a lot more interesting. Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. No, that's a great point. And appreciate you making that comment. Chuck, please go ahead.
Thanks. And of course, Paul, as you know, the wording came from Westlake on that. on that recommendation, and I'm pretty confident that what they really meant and what we understood as a working party was the procedures that are established for policy development, and the GNSO has those. They're publicly available and so forth. I'm pretty sure that's what that means.
Thanks, Chuck. Okay. So moving on, we've got about 20 minutes left, and I do want to make sure we get to have some time to get some feedback on our next steps as these move forward, and what we're looking for from both Council and the OEC. But I want to make sure we get through these. Any other concerns about Recommendation 25 being flagged as though it's work underway? Okay, and then number 30, this is the last one in this category, that the GNSO develop and implement a policy for the provision of administrative support for SGs and Cs, and that SGs and Cs annually review and evaluate the effectiveness of administrative support they receive. And we had noted we think the first part's done, but not the second part, but that, again, work is being done already on this concept. Any concerns on this one being categorized the way it is? Okay. The next batch here, I'd like to try to go through these relatively quickly so that we can move on and have a discussion about, you know, where this goes from here, because I think that's where we really want feedback. So if you all are okay with this, rather than reading each of these were flagged as green. I'll just pause for a moment, let you read the screen. You know, we have these next four, I think we have 13 altogether that were flagged as green. Let me see, was there a number? Yes, we have 13 that are in this category. Any concerns on 6, 26, 27, or 5 that you would like to discuss? And I'll pause for just a minute to get everybody a moment to read here. Okay, Paul, that's a great. Thank you for your question. I want to make sure we note that for implementation. Any of these things that deal with gathering information, I think there is going to be an implementation question about privacy policies and where all that data is stored. Any other concerns on this batch of four? Okay, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the next batch. These are recommendations 17, 29, 12, and 1. These were all flagged priority medium, but there was agreement with these recommendations. Any concerns or objections to the way these have been categorized? Okay, I'll go ahead and move on. Get to our, oops, I'm sorry, last batch here. Sorry about that. So then the last five in this category, again, ranking medium to low, all in the general agreement with the recommendations 2, 9, 4, 28, and 34. I'll give you all a moment just to read through these as well. These tended to be the less controversial issues. Any concerns? Okay, and these have been circulated, so as you go through and read them, you can go back through these. What I'd like to move on to now is the discussion that's, you know, going to be incredibly helpful and important as we move this forward. You know, what we've done at this point is reacted to the independent examiner recommendations. We have categorized them and broken them into chunks that we think are a bit more manageable and that we can provide to the OEC. But our question to Council, as you consider what to take and how to take our work and move it forward, and to the OEC, of course, is, you know, as this moves into implementation, you know, what is the GNSO volunteer capacity to implement improvements? I know we talked a little bit today, hey, maybe forming another working group isn't really what makes sense because people are already overtaxed. You know, what's a realistic plan to implement? You know, should we take the high priority items and batch them into existing work, or have a small task force that's there to try to help move those things forward. You know, what is reasonable in terms of how many of these could be tackled at the same time? We talked a lot today about the questions that just come up once we start talking about implementation, everything from privacy, how is data being collected, should that be collected? So obviously we see there's a, you know, a trickle-down effect of questions that become raised once we move past the idea of, yeah, that sounds like a great recommendation, how do we actually do it? And of course, in any kind of process improvement, to do this effectively from here, we need to define what we expect as outcomes. We need to define how we will measure results so that we can determine if this has been effective in going forward. And so I think where we are at this point is really looking for feedback from all of you. You've had a chance to digest this, see how we've organized the work that's been done here. You know, what is your reaction? You know, what do you think in terms of implementation and what will be most useful as we move forward? So I will pause and look for comments from all of you on those questions. Okay, Paul, how was this done in the last GNSO review? I don't know, Larissa, if you want to provide any context historically on the review process as it moved into implementation.
Hi, this is Larissa Gurnick. I probably am not the right person to provide context, just because my tenure at ICANN doesn't go that far back. But certainly we know from looking at process improvements for the implementation that doing this kind of work sooner rather than later would be really helpful. So I'm not sure that to what extent looking back 5 or 7 years now would provide us with a whole lot of useful information, but certainly there's a clear understanding for more recent work in implementations, not necessarily within the GNSO review, but within other reviews, such as ATRT2 and others, is that getting this addressed at the point that we are at now in preparation for implementation is a best practice and a good practice from project management perspective and process improvement perspective. So apologies for not being more specific, but perhaps some of you all that had been there at the time that the prior GNSO review moved into implementation might be able to offer some more useful steps.
Chuck? Please go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll be brief. The last GNSO review had a lot of recommendations, some of which we live under now. A lot of the procedures, the working group model, all of that was all implemented, and it did happen at the council, like at the council level, involving the full community, and of course it involved major structural change too. And the bicameral houses and so forth, and a working a special group. It wasn't a policy development working group, but a special group worked together to come up with the recommendations on that and so forth. So that's just a real quick recap, I think, based on my probably flawed memory of the last review.
Thanks, Chuck. Any other comments or feedback or, you know, as we move this forward, particularly those of you on council, obviously this is coming before you this week. Any other comments or feedback that you have or questions for us as this moves forward? Chuck, is that a new hand?
That is a new hand because okay. This is Chuck speaking, and I want to make sure that somehow we communicate in the council meeting, the comments that were made on a few of the recommendations, especially those at the beginning, but even some throughout. So I'm not sure how the best way is to do that, but not only for the council meeting later this week, but the for the organizational effectiveness committee going forward as well.
Thank you, Chuck. Any other Any other comments or feedback? Or Larissa, do you want to add anything to that?
This is Larissa. Thanks, Jen. I guess my only question and something that I would like to add to that is this idea of reflecting on prioritization. As Jen walked everyone through, there was a pretty detailed and elaborate process to try and organize the 36 recommendations in rational and logical order. But just as a reminder, as that was all done, there was not a specific analysis completed yet to understand how much work these recommendations that have been prioritized will require and how that squares off with whatever other work and workload. So I know that volunteer capacity and ability to take on more work, these are themes that we hear a great deal about. And in an attempt to respond to that, some brainstorming and some ideas have been considered, such as perhaps looking at identifying the number of recommendations that could reasonably be implemented at one time, and maybe ones that kind of fit together based on their subject matter, and take more of a chunked approach to the implementation. This is just a thought and an idea, but certainly a lot of how this might move forward would be driven by responses from the GNSO Council about workload and capacity and how to make sure that this moves forward productively.
Thanks, Larissa. So just to close out in the final few minutes we have, our next step is that there is a motion before Council in their meeting on this Thursday to approve the working party report and recommendations and to move this forward to a comprehensive report to be provided to the OEC on May 15th, and then potentially board action in June or beyond. And then from there, of course, is the, you know, how does this move forward into implementation? Are there any other comments, questions at this point for us? I know the council has probably, I think this is slated for a 10-minute presentation and vote on Thursday, so there won't be as much time on Thursday. So particularly anyone on council, do you have questions? Is there more information that we can provide to you as you consider what's coming this week? Anyone else? I see a lot of people are typing in the chat. Anyone else want to speak here? Terry, yes. So slides, transcripts, and the recording will be sent to Council. Any other comments? Okay, great. Thank you all for indulging us with this time to go through the information. I know it's a lot of detail. We've certainly spent a lot of time as the working party digging through this, reading the rationale from the report, trying to decipher what we thought the Westlake team meant or didn't mean, and then trying to reframe it in a way that we felt was appropriate to move forward. We certainly appreciate the time to present this in detail to all of you today and look forward to moving this forward. So thank you. If there's no other comments, this will close out the briefing. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.